A man from Macedonia appears to St. Paul in a vision, and he pleads urgently a very simple request. Come to Macedonia and help us. Come help us, Paul. It's a simple request, and Paul, being an apostle and an evangelist in the church, knows just what they need for help. Immediately, he goes to Macedonia, concluding that God had called them to preach the gospel to them. This was the help that Paul had to give: the gospel, the forgiveness of sins, given freely on account of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to the one who believes by faith. Given freely to the one who believes and is baptized and therefore saved. The gospel, the good news of our Lord's triumph over the grave and victory over sin and the devil. That was the help that Paul had to give. Come over to Macedonia and help us. It's a simple request. Yet, as we shall soon see, you never really know just what you're getting into when someone's in need of help. First, Paul goes to a city in Macedonia called Philippi, and the very first person that we're introduced to is a woman named Lydia. She's a seller of purple goods from the city of Thyatira, well known even today, still today, for its rug making and purple dye that grows there from the madder root. I don't know what the madder root is. Google told me that. It was the Sabbath, and Paul had a practice of going to the synagogue on the Sabbath to dialogue with the Jews. But there was no synagogue in Philippi. Jewish law required 10 males to be present to form a synagogue, and the number of Jews in Philippi was minute. So, no synagogue. But the few that were there gathered by a river to offer their prayers, including a woman named Lydia. And the Lord, we're told, opened her heart to pay attention to what was being said by Paul. The gospel. The very thing that he had to help. So what did he say? We're not told explicitly all that he said, but he most definitely talked about the crucifixion of Jesus. For Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:2 of his own preaching that I decided to know nothing except Christ and him crucified. And he most definitely talked about the resurrection of Jesus. For Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 of his own preaching that if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then our preaching's in vain, and so is our faith. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That this was the gospel for Paul. The whole counsel of God centered upon that cross and empty tomb of Jesus, his death and his resurrection. And Lydia heard these words, and the Lord opened her heart to believe them. For not one of us could ever believe on our own. It is the Lord, the Holy Spirit, who is God, who opens hearts to believe. And Lydia believed in that gospel, and she was helped eternally. We know that Paul also most definitely spoke about baptism, essential to the gospel. For Paul says in Romans 6 of baptism that, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? And we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And baptism links us to the death and resurrection of our Savior, his cross and his empty tomb, the forgiveness of sins. It becomes ours in the waters of baptism by God's word and Holy Spirit. Lydia heard such great and precious promises of baptism, and she was immediately baptized. we're told her entire household as well. She wanted her entire family, all servants under her, all who belonged to her care, baptized into Christ Jesus, her Lord. The gospel was proclaimed to Lydia, and she believed. Was she the sole reason for the Macedonian man? Was she the one for whom Paul was sent to come and help? Keep reading in Acts, and you find out there's a few more. There's a slave girl who's possessed by a demon. She won't leave Paul alone. She keeps crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation through Jesus Christ." And apparently, Paul didn't like this, although I think it would have been good publicity. But she did it for many days. And even the greatest compliments, when said again and again and again, can become a little bit annoying. And Luke records in Acts 16 that Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and rebuked the unclean spirit. "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And the unclean spirit came out. Now her owners, for she was a slave, weren't too thrilled that their fortune teller slave was now no longer providing income for them. So they have Paul and his whole company thrown into prison, where they're inflicted with many blows, beaten with rods, placed under a strict observance of a Philippian jailer, and fastened with their feet in stocks awaiting sentencing. You never really know just what you're getting into when you go to help someone. Thanks a lot, Macedonian man. But around midnight, while shackled in prison, Paul and his company began singing some of their favorite hymns. I would have sung "Abide with Me" or "Thy Strong Word." And all the fellow prisoners were listening in as they sang, and suddenly there's a great earthquake. The very foundations of the prison were shaken, and all the chains of the prisoners come off. Every prisoner, from the murderer to the Christian evangelist, was freed, but they remained in their cells. The Philippian jailer comes to Paul, and he throws himself at his feet, and he says to him, "Paul, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul gives him the gospel. "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your entire household." And they spoke the words of the Lord to him. Jesus' cross, his resurrection from the dead, and baptism. And that very hour, the jailer takes Paul to his house, he washes his wounds, and he was baptized at once. He and his entire family, his wife, his children, maybe his grandchildren, if he had them, his servants, his entire household, all who belonged to his care. No one held back from the Lord's gifts. And then Paul goes and visits Lydia one last time. The trip to Macedonia begins and ends with a visit of a woman named Lydia. And all this happened because a man from Macedonia appeared to Paul in a vision and said, "Come and help us." And Paul concluded that they needed to hear the gospel. When did Paul proclaim it? Certainly in these defining moments with Lydia at the river and the Philippian jailer in prison and the demon-possessed girl in the street. But he also proclaimed it everywhere he went. On the road, in his bed, lying there in prison, at the table with family, when he sung hymns for all the prisoners to hear, he was proclaiming the gospel. When we sing hymns for our little ones to hear, we are proclaiming the gospel. You see, wherever Paul went, he carried the gospel with him. He prayed it, he spoke it, he sang it, he lived it, he proclaimed the gospel at all times. It alone carried his feet, and it led him to a woman named Lydia. It led him to prison. It led him back to Lydia, all because a Macedonian man appeared in a vision to Paul and said, "Come and help us." So who's the Macedonian man in your life? who is the one who calls out to you for help. Come. Help us. Who is that for you? And who is that for us? We have the most precious treasure, the gospel. The forgiveness of sins, that our sins are washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, by faith alone, God's grace alone, in Christ alone. This is the most precious treasure in all the earth. It alone can save and help the lost soul. Who needs it? A few years ago, we had a vision to help pregnant women. Not a vision in the sense that St. Paul had, but a vision guided by the Holy Spirit nonetheless. And we were sent, not knowing fully what lies ahead when one's in need. And we still don't. But we continue to go to that area of need in our community with the gospel. And we ourselves have seen the Lord open the hearts of our own Lydia and her entire household baptized into Jesus. So we are gathered here today by the Holy Spirit. All because around 90 years ago, some Lutherans gathered here, not by a river, but in the courthouse of Henry County on the third floor on an Easter morning to proclaim the gospel and to create a Lutheran presence in our community. And they gathered because 1900 years before them, a man named St. Paul proclaimed the gospel to a woman named Lydia by a river and so many others. And so here you are, gathered, not by a river or in a courthouse, but in this beautiful house of the Lord, rejoicing and proclaiming and singing and receiving the gifts of the gospel, all of its gifts, for you and for your children and for your entire household. And you are sent from here. You are sent out from here to help. Whoever that may be for you, whoever that may be for us, come and help us, the Macedonian man still cries. And so we go with the gospel, never fully knowing what lies ahead when one's in need, but fully trusting who it is that goes with us. Jesus Christ, the one who is risen from the dead. Amen.